Taliban blames the United States for the chaotic evacuation from Afghanistan's capital, Kabul. Former U.S. President Donald Trump says Washington's botched exit from Afghanistan was the greatest foreign policy humiliation in U.S. history. And Iran's President Raisi tells the Japanese foreign minister the delay in releasing Tehran's frozen funds is unjustified. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, the UK Defense Ministry has confirmed the deaths of seven people amid the chaos near the international airport in the Afghan capital, Kabul. In a statement, the ministry said the deaths happened as thousands of Afghans gathered to flee after the Taliban takeover of Afghanistan. London said the conditions on the ground remain, quote, extremely challenging. Meanwhile, a senior Taliban official said the United States is to blame for the chaos at the Kabul airport. The official noted that the U.S. has failed to bring order to the airport. Thousands of people, including women and children, have thronged the entry gates to the airport to find a chance to leave the country. Several have died due to heat and also stampede over the past few days. Well, the United States has urged its citizens in Afghanistan to avoid traveling to the airport in Kabul due to what it called potential security threats near its gates. The U.S. Embassy issued the warning without elaborating, but a White House official said they had discussed counterterrorism operations in Afghanistan, including against Daesh terrorists. The U.S. and its allies are still trying to evacuate thousands of their nationals, as well as Afghans previously working for them, 6 days after the Taliban takeover of the country. Pentagon spokesman John Kirby said the countries are racing against time and space to evacuate the people. The U.S. seeks to evacuate 15,000 Americans and up to 60,000 Afghans. Washington has set itself a deadline of August the 31st to complete the process. Meanwhile, former U.S. President Donald Trump has heavily criticized incumbent Joe Biden for the way he handled the exit of U.S. troops from Afghanistan.
Biden failed totally on the pandemic, and he's now overseeing the greatest foreign policy humiliation in the history of the United States of America. This is the greatest humiliation I've ever seen. Biden's botched exit in Afghanistan is the most astonishing display of gross incompetence by a nation's leader, perhaps at any time that anybody's ever seen. Name another situation like this.
Trump made the comments during a rally in the state of Alabama. He said the U.S. pullout has to go down in history as one of the greatest military defeats of all time, adding that it was a total surrender than a withdrawal. Trump said the quick takeover of Afghanistan by the Taliban would not have happened if he was still in office. The former president has repeatedly blamed Biden for Afghanistan's fall to the Taliban. Biden, however, argues that he inherited a bad withdrawal agreement from Trump. David McBride is a former legal officer in the Australian Army. He says Biden is not the sole person to blame for the situation in Afghanistan, as he is the last person in a long chain of bad decisions.
Well, it was predictable that it would be hung around President Biden's neck, but that's very unfair. The problem started with George W. Bush. The invasion was badly thought out. It was badly carried out. There was no real intention of actually making a difference from the Afghan people. It was a political mover, a movement to win the elections in 2004, then 2008, and so on. And Bush, Obama and Trump all bear more responsibility for the mess than President Biden does.
Now, the Taliban say they plan to unveil a new model for governing Afghanistan within the next few weeks. They also emphasize the importance of holding a wide range of consultations with other political leaders. Now, the move has been welcomed by political circles in Afghanistan. Amin Alami reports from Kabul.
Taliban leaders are busy in these days as they are facing the challenge of good governance in Afghanistan. To this end, they have decided to pick up some key steps to prove their capabilities by unveiling a new framework for governance within next days. The Taliban say they aim to keep up consultations with former high-ranking officials, prominent political leaders, and the rest of political activists in order to establish an inclusive government.
We want to establish a government in which all sides, including political groups, ethnic groups, and religious groups, have their share in. We are trying to reach an agreement with other sides in this regard. We are not after war. We are seeking peace and calm for our country.
In the meantime, top Afghan political leaders urged the Taliban to continue its efforts to attract more local and international support. This will not happen, they warn, unless the Taliban listen to the voice of people.
I do not expect the peace plan developed entirely by the U.S. to be fruitful. Therefore, regional countries need to take the initiative and work together on the issue, or at least put pressure on the U.S. to work honestly.
Taliban war comes as thousands of Afghans seek to get out of their country via Kabul International Airport since Taliban took control over the city almost a week ago. The rising number of horrified people in and around the airport has created a big chaos there, resulting to the death of 12 so far. Two of the victims, including a member of Afghanistan's national football team, lost their lives after they fell from this flying U.S. military aircraft. The incident shocked the entire world. Taliban say they plan to investigate reported cases of atrocities by the members against civilians, including journalists. Taliban are going to set up separate teams for dealing with Afghanistan's internal security and financial crisis as well. Sayed Amin Alami, Kabul.
Iran's President Ebrahim Raisi has called on Japan to release Iranian funds blocked in Japanese banks because of U.S. sanctions. Raisi said the delay in the release of the Iranian assets is unjustified. He made the remarks at a meeting with Japan's Foreign Minister Motegi Toshimitsu in Tehran. President Raisi also spoke about the 2015 Iran nuclear deal. He said Iran has fulfilled its obligations, while the U.S. and Europe have failed to meet their commitments. The top Japanese diplomat said his country has always supported the Iran deal. He said the full implementation of the accord is in favor of everyone. The Iranian president and the Japanese foreign minister also discussed other issues, including the situation in Afghanistan. Meanwhile, Iran's parliament is debating the proposed cabinet lineup of President Ebrahim Raisi for a second day. Lawmakers are reviewing the qualifications of the president's picks for ministerial posts. Supporters and opponents of the nominees are given the stage to speak for or against them. All this ahead of a vote of confidence that is expected to take place on Wednesday. The Iranian president will have up to 3 months to name a replacement in case any of the proposed minister fails to win the vote. Raisi defended his choices on Saturday in front of parliament in his address to the legislative chamber. He said the lineup is meant to bring about justice and progress.
On Saturday, Iran's parliament began its open session differently, hosting some of the ministers-to-be and the president himself to attend the vote of confidence session. The process began after week-long behind-closed-doors deliberations on Raisi's proposed list of ministers. Based on the parliament regulations, the president is given 2.5 hours' time to introduce and defend his nominees before 5 pros and 5 cons from lawmakers speak against or in favor of the list.
The reform program pursued by the administration is the centerpiece of the proposed minister's agenda. The program is based on 5 pivotal points. First, a statement on the second step of the Islamic revolution. Second, improving Islamic and Iranian values. Third, pursuing economic resilience. Fourth, improving the livelihoods of the people, especially low-income families. Fifth, promoting international relations based on national interests.
The process will then involve the introduction of the nominated ministers one by one, and based on the Persian alphabetical order of the ministries. For each minister, two pros and two cons will speak, each for 15 minutes, before the nominees take the podium to defend their qualifications for 30 minutes. Majlis says it will work two shifts every day to wrap up the process swiftly.
Parliament maintains a cooperative stance toward the government. We will work two shifts a day to cover up to five nominees every day. If all goes as planned, we will hold the final session on Tuesday.
The proposed cabinet for Mr. Raisi is a combination of expertise and youthfulness. Some of them are young, but at the same time, they are experienced. With that being said, I predict that the voting process will not be lengthy.
Ebrahim Raisi handed his proposed cabinet lineup to Parliament 10 days ago, a week after he took the oath of office as Iran's new president. Legislators then reviewed the credentials of the proposed ministers behind closed doors for a week. The open floor vote of confidence sessions are expected to run until Tuesday, when the final voting will be held for the 19 ministerial picks.
Lawmakers say in their voting they bear in mind that the proposed lineup is the team that the president wants to work with. And given Raisi's close ties with Parliament, it's expected that the majority of the nominees will win the green light to sit on the ministerial chairs. Yusuf Jalali from the Iranian Parliament.
Well, local officials in northern Iraq say two civilians have been killed in a Turkish army bombardment there. Officials said the Turkish attack hit the border district of Zahro in Iraq's northern Kurdistan region. They said the victims were not from the area, but were caught in the Turkish bombing and died. Ensuing clashes have been reported. Turkey regularly targets northwest Iraq in operations against the Kurdistan Workers' Party, or the PKK. Ankara considers the group as a terrorist organization. Iraq has time and again condemned the Turkish military operations as a violation of its sovereignty. The U.S. has imposed new sanctions on Russia over its Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline project. The new measures target two Russian companies and a ship involved in the project. Analysts believe U.S. sanctions cannot stop the nearly completed project that would transfer Russian gas to Germany.
Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline, an ambitious $11 billion project that would transport natural gas from Russia directly to Germany by bypassing Ukraine. The project will double the existing Nord Stream pipeline running from Russia to Europe across the Baltic Sea and is a sustainable way to ensure European energy security. The Nord Stream 2 project is close to completion, yet it has for long caused tensions between Moscow and Washington. The United States sees the project as a potential threat, believing that it will increase Europe's dependence on Russian gas exports and isolate Ukraine. As a matter of fact, by bypassing Ukraine, Russia and the European Union could save the transit fees that make up to 3% of Ukraine's GDP. In addition, Washington worries that Moscow's success in transferring natural gas to Europe would undermine the effectiveness of U.S. sanctions in place against the country since 2014 due to the conflict in Ukraine. On Friday, Washington slapped new sanctions on a ship and two entities involved in the Nord Stream 2 pipeline project. At the same time, U.S. President Joe Biden issued an executive order allowing for sanctions to be imposed on certain Russian officials. Although this deepens the rift between the U.S. and Russia, it is unlikely to have much impact on the nearly completed energy project. The U.S. and Germany had struck an agreement when it came to Nord Stream 2. The Biden administration waived sanctions on the company overseeing the construction of the pipeline and its chief operating officer, yet it goes ahead with sanctioning Russian officials. It appears that the U.S. is still after sabotaging this project.
But basically, they're trying to look tough, even though they're kind of surrendering, because it's clear that the Nord Stream will take place. who is very much kind of stand to lose as a result of that is Ukraine, because, you know, Ukraine utilizing the oil pipeline, more or less 20% of their income depends on that. So Ukraine is going to lose money. And that's what the United States' interest is. They ask Germany to help. They don't want to pay themselves, so they push Germany to help Ukraine. But so that's the bottom line. But, you know, so they can sanction the Russians, but they more or less will have to agree with the Nord Stream to go on.
On the first anniversary of the alleged poisoning of Russian opposition figure Alexei Navalny, Britain and the U.S. have imposed joint sanctions on Russia. Now, the sanctions target the individuals that Washington and London say are Russian intelligence operatives responsible for Navalny's poisoning. The move appears to be part of a maximum pressure campaign the U.S. has launched against Russia.
Britain and the U.S. both targeted seven Russians with sanctions and also issued a joint statement warning Russia over chemical weapons. The targeted Russian individuals are described as Russian security officials allegedly involved in a nerve attack on Navalny last year. This is while Moscow has denied any involvement in the incident. Washington separately imposed sanctions on another two men and four Russian institutes it said were involved in chemical weapons research or what it described as an assassination attempt against Navalny. Navalny was poisoned using a nerve agent. He was flown to Germany for medical treatment after falling ill in Siberia on August 20th last year. Though he survived, he was arrested in January when he returned to Russia. The U.S. has been on the forefront with anti-Russia rhetoric over Navalny's case, including his alleged poisoning. This is while Kremlin has said it will not allow any foreign interference in its domestic affairs. In response to the latest round of sanctions over Nord Stream 2 and the Navalny case, Russian Foreign Ministry condemned the measures as unilateral and illegitimate, vowing that Moscow's response to sanctions will be tough and appropriate.
And with that brings us to the end of this World News Bulletin. Thank you all so much for staying with us.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio.
Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Tell a little about yourself.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, August 22nd, 2021. I'm Atefa Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Tell us which programs you like the best. If you have any messages for our dear listeners around the world, then record your voice, send it to us, and then get your voice heard. Do remember, Listeners Special is your program, dear listener. It's your views that are important. Please keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back, dear friends. As usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very important and useful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers at IRIB English Radio. These reception reports, as you may know, enable us to provide a better service, a high-quality service, to our dear listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an EQSL card from us. So here, I mentioned some of the names who have sent us reception reports, including Sultan Mahmoud Sarkar from Bangladesh, one of our regular listeners. Also, Perez Mislav Zoladek from Poland has sent us an email, and Rafwan Ahmad from India has sent us an email. Here, I do appreciate those of our dear listeners who have sent us reception report, and of course we have received many emails and letters from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here, and later during the program I will read their emails or letters. Shivandupol, one of our regular listeners, has sent us an email from India. Also from Spain, we have an email from one of our regular listeners, from Arthur Fernandez Lorella. From the Netherlands, we have an email from Michelle Greenert. And from the United States, we have an email from Bill McDavid. And the last but not the least is an email from England, from Howard Barnett, one of our regular listeners. I truly appreciate these listeners for sending us these emails and letters. After a short break, I will be back with these kind messages. This is Listeners Special, and I'm back with many emails and letters from around the world from our dear listeners. First of all, we start with an email from India, from Shivandupol. Shivandupol is one of our regular listeners who says, "Dear IRIB English Radio staff, thank you for your kind email. I will try to send short audio recording clips and comments, questions about your program and Iran, and hope you can air my comments in your program, Listeners Special. With best regards, and stay safe." And salam and warmest greetings to you, Shivandupol from India, and many thanks for writing this email to IRIB English Radio, your programs. Of course, my colleagues will send you an EQSL card for sending us this email, and many thanks for your comments. So you're going to send us short audio recording clips, comments, questions about our program and Iran. Thank you for that, and of course we will air it in your program, Listen's Special. Be sure about that. We will air, and we air right now all comments from our dear listeners in our program and your program, Listen's Special. And that's our duty to do that. Best regards, and of course, wish you all the best. Stay safe and healthy. Write to us soon. We are waiting for those comments and views from you, Shivanupol, from India. And from Spain, one of our regular listeners, Arthur Fernandez Lorella, has sent us an email. Arthur says, "Dear IRIB English Radio staff, thank you very much for your kind answer to my previous email. We are all fine here, despite the coronavirus and all this terrible problem. I hope you're all fine there in Tehran too. About the reception report and the EQSL you offered me, I will be glad to receive an EQSL from you, since sending an a QSL card via post is not available. I'm sending you old reception report. Would it be possible to confirm it with your EQSL, please? Thanks a lot in advance for your help and your nice programs. Stay healthy." And salam and warmest greetings to you, Arthur Fernandez Lorella from Spain, and kind greetings from Tehran. Of course, we are getting well in Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Thank God. And the population is getting vaccinated day by day. We are feeling healthy and safe right now. And we hope that in your country and all over the world, of course, everyone be safe and fine, of course, despite the coronavirus pandemic. Many thanks, Arthur, for sending us this email. Of course, my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card. Enjoy it. And as you said, sending a paper QSL card is not available via post, because of the pandemic, of course. So my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card, and many thanks for writing this email to your radio station, IRIB English Radio. Arthur, in your upcoming emails, please tell us which program or programs you like the best. Tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. Wish you all the best. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And just after a short break, I will be back with other emails from the Netherlands this time. Welcome back from the Netherlands. We have an email from Michelle Griard. She says, "Dear friends, today I had the privilege to listen to your radio station. I'm a new radio listener since the coronavirus pandemic started in the world, and I have found this hobby very interesting. That is listening to the world radios via short and medium wave. Please find my recession report attached to this email. I include also an MP3 file to prove that I have listened to your radio. I hope you will verify this report. Sincerely yours." Salam and warmest greetings to you, Michelle Griard, from the Netherlands. I wish I'm right in pronouncing your name, because I don't know Dutch. Anyway, many thanks, Michelle, for sending us this email. And of course, it's an honor to have you with us. If it's a privilege to listen to IRIB English Radio, it's an honor for us to find another listener from around the world, this time from the Netherlands. Michelle, many thanks for sending us this email. So you started listening to different radio stations in the time of coronavirus pandemic? That's great. It's a great hobby, of course. I think besides being a hobby, listening to radio adds to our information. It has news part. It has information about different countries. For example, in our radio, we air different programs about our country, Iran, like Close Up Iran, Iranian Market, different programs about our country. We have the news section. So besides being a hobby, it can be an informative source about different countries. So welcome. We wish you all the best, Michelle, from the Netherlands. We have received your MP3 file, and my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card. Enjoy it. Write to us soon, Michelle. We wish you all the best. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Tell us your views in that email to us. Well, from Bill McDavid from the United States, we have an email. Bill says, I heard your broadcast today on shortwave radio and especially enjoyed your program discussing the heat wave and fire problems around the world. You are heard very well here in Florida, United States. I would very much appreciate a QSL card from your station if possible. I will be listening to your English service via shortwave in the future. Keep up the good work. First of all, warmest greetings to you. Hello and salam, Bill McDavid from the U.S. And many thanks for writing this email to us so you enjoy one of our programs about the heat wave, about the warming and fire problems around the world. Thank God you enjoyed it. We are glad that you heard it. So you're from Florida and you received our signals in your region, in Florida. So write to us soon, Bill. Tell us your views about our English radio programs. Tell us which programs you like the best. And try to listen to those of our programs about our country to have a real picture and a real image of our country. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon, Bill McDavid. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with an email from England, from Howard Barnett. Stay with us. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, your program. And as I said, here we have an email from Howard Barnett from England. Howard says, Dear Sarah, Madam, tonight I tuned into your radio station via internet, where I am using a tablet, and I heard you with excellent reception, except for a short break in transmission. What I heard was first the station announcement, and this was followed by some music. I don't know if you verify reception reports via the internet, but if you do, then a QSL card along with anything else you care to send me will be very much appreciated. Sent to the address above. Thank you. Yours sincerely. Salam and warmest greetings to you, Howard Barnett from England. And we do appreciate you for sending us this email. So you tuned in to IRB English Radio via internet. That's great. Maybe via our website. So where you are using a tablet and you heard it with excellent reception. That's great. Thank God you enjoyed it. So you caught up station announcement followed by music. Of course, we have different sections in our broadcast. We have the news part. We have different programs. So we hope that in your upcoming emails or letters, you tell us your views about our programs. You tell us which program or programs you like the best, generally reflecting your outlook toward IRB English Radio programs. Of course, my colleagues will soon send you an eQSL card, because sending a paper QSL card is not possible in the time of coronavirus pandemic. So we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, Howard Barnett from England. We wish you all the best. And now, dear listeners, I think here we have to skip to the next section of our program, which is this week's interview, which is conducted with one of our regular listeners. We hope you'll enjoy it.
My name is Ibrahima. Well, I finished from the International Institute of Journalism here in Abuja. That is the headquarters of Nigeria. And also, I make studies. I study in Germany, I study in France, and I study in some parts of African countries. I am not actually a journalist. I'm working with a radio station here in Kaduna. And I also send reports to so many other radio stations around the globe. Well, I must have my kind of job I do is that I have so many things I do, like I do give part, take part-time lectures. I give to some of these part-time university, and I deliver lectures on French and German language as a part-time lecturer. And I have so many activities that I used to do. I'm a presenter in a radio station, and so many other things. Well, the English service radio station, firstly, I must tell you the fact that I attach and I cherish firstly the style of the presentation that is coming up from the broadcaster. I first listen, it's my orientation that I have even at the Institute of Journalism. When I used to approach my lecturer on the style of news I used to hear from the English service, it's quite different from our own local radio station here. So I am adapted to the radio station that is the Iran English service, because I learned so many things with them, and as such, I put it into my practice before I became a serious, like a senior reporter here. So it really helped me, because I listened to the style of the presentation first, and the presenters are always, I don't know how they organize their reporters, but it's something that I just discovered. I always learn something from their reporters, the style of the presentation, the way they organize the room. But I must have to say that I discover most of the news is basically Arab region reports and the news always within the region, and some parts from the Africa, little, but sometimes from Asia, little. But the much of the news is emphasizing mostly on the region of the Arab, most especially Iran. I must say I learned so many things from that radio station. I must say big thanks to them. I keep on listening because I benefited so many things from them so far. Big thanks go to all the listeners, fans, clubs, all over the world listening to International Radio of Iran. Big thanks to you, and I just want you to know that Iran Radio remains one of the untouchable and reliable, best information circulation, best in all time of news discovery, the first always to bring the breaking news, ready to give you all whatever I would. My best regards to all those listeners all over the world. I wish you the best, and I wish you keep on listening to this best radio station. Best is what I give you, and the radio is ready to give you the best.
Wishing you all the best. Here we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special. Keep in touch with IRIB English Radio, and goodbye.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to englishradio@irib.ir. That is one word, englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
A journalist said he faced death threats after Christina Pusha, press secretary to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, responded to an article by him, saying she would put him on blast unless he changed its content and headline to her liking. In this regard, we have prepared an article for you written by Chris Walker Ryder. This article is published under the heading, Reporter Gets Death Threats After DeSantis Press Secretary Tweets Attacks Against Him. Stay tuned for the details of this article. journalist said he faced death threats after Christina Pusha, press secretary to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, responded to an article by him saying she would put him on blast unless he changed its content and headline to her liking. Brandon Farrington, who writes for the Associated Press, detailed in an article published recently how DeSantis has been traveling around Florida touting a monoclonal antibody treatment created by a company called Regeneron Pharmaceutical Incorporation. Following huge increases in the levels of coronavirus cases and hospitalizations across the state, the treatment is deemed an effective way to treat individuals who have been diagnosed with COVID, reducing hospitalizations and deaths by a rate of around 70%. Farrington noted in his article that DeSantis, who is adamantly anti-masked, so much so that he has products on his campaign site demonstrating his animus toward them, and who has also significantly downplayed the effectiveness of vaccines, which have reduced hospitalizations and deaths by about 95%, has benefited from the political contributions of a hedge fund executive whose company has invested nearly $16 million in Regeneron. Ken Griffin, who is the CEO of a Chicago-based hedge fund called Citadel, has given more than $10 million over the past 3 years to a political committee that supports DeSantis, Farrington wrote. The Florida governor has notably touted the antibody treatment in appearances throughout the state, but he has not promoted vaccines and masks, which are also life-saving measures individuals can take to prevent being harmed by a virus, in the same way Farrington noted in his article. Farrington wrote, experts agree that keeping people out of the hospital is a top priority, but say vaccines, not treatments for people after they get sick, are the best way to do that. Pushaw responded to the article by demanding the AP and Farrington change its deadline, which reads, DeSantis top donor invests in COVID drug governor promotes. The headline is factually accurate, but Pushaw said it was misleading and warned there would be consequences for Farrington if it wasn't changed. Pushaw said in a tweet, fix your conspiracy BS or I will put you on blast. Tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. is the deadline. Pushaw did not wait until morning, however, and spent much of the deriding Farrington's article. She did delete that tweet a couple of hours later, apparently after Farrington received death threats, along with another tweet she purportedly made according to Florida progressive activist Thomas Kennedy, who saved it, in which she urged her followers to drag Farrington. When asked about it, Pushaw said she had deleted the tweet because the journalist and the AP had refused to change the content of the article. Pushaw continued to suggest, however, that Farrington was misleading readers with his factually wrong reporting about DeSantis without providing any clarifications to the contrary. Recently, Farrington tweeted that the press secretary's actions had led to his receiving threats against his life from DeSantis supporters. Waking up in the middle of the night to see death threats and hate messages from people about a story Governor Ron DeSantis' office said is factually true, Farrington tweeted, adding, for your sake, I hope government doesn't threaten your safety. I will be fine, I hope. Freedom. Just please don't kill me. Vishal has since responded by issuing a tweet stating nobody should be sending death threats to anyone else. But in that same tweet, she continued arguing Farrington, saying journalists shouldn't write stories to discourage COVID patients from getting life-saving Regeneron by politicizing a clinically proven treatment. Though Farrington's article did no such thing. The tweet is disingenuous in the extreme for the simple fact that Pushaw's boss, the governor of Florida, has spent the last few weeks signing laws against local governments and municipalities taking basic life-saving public health measures against COVID, such as wearing masks. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 41 meters, 7,410 kilohertz for Indian subcontinent, and FM. 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5 and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio. A herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Again, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us during this month of Muharram and to enable us to be of those who are the true helpers of the Imam, Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, because of our efforts that we made for the sake of Imam al-Husayn alayhim as-salam. For we know that the Imam, that is Imam al-Asr, Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, is the avenger of the blood of Imam al-Husayn alayhim as-salam. So one of the things that is important is that that particular place where Imam al-Husayn alayhim as-salam is buried, now we may look at it as a desert. We may see it as a place that is on the outskirts, and there is nothing really important about that particular place. But because of that particular person that he is buried in that place, the entire structure, the existential structure of that particular place took a new form. And we can see this from this tradition of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, who is speaking to one of his companions. Or rather, the companion said, I heard Imam alayhi salam, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, say this. The Imam said, the location of the grave of Husayn ibn Ali alayhi salam has been a garden from the gardens of paradise since the day that Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam was buried in it. So we see here that that particular person, that particular essence that was buried in that particular soil, that they had nothing special about it. Same with many of the other places throughout the Muslim world. It is because of that particular person who either went there or was buried there that this place got significance. So the place where Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam is buried is a garden from the gardens of paradise. And I also heard, the companion says, I also heard the Imam alayhi salam say, the location of the grave of Husayn alayhi salam is an oasis from the oasis of paradise. It is a place of extreme tranquility. It is a place of extreme, you know, ease, where a person who goes in there finds, you know, this felicity, this ease, this comfort. You know, it is, you know, we do not see the reality of what is around us. You know, the eyes of our heart is not open. So these traditions should give us, you know, that motivation to know that where we are. Then when we do have the ability to go for the ziyarah of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, we understand that where we are standing and who we are facing and what we should be doing and performing the etiquettes as they should be performed. Insha'Allah. Until next time, my dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio, with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
This spotlight. Bring us out from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of information.
The Spotlight.